Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com. Delivered by DoorDash.
Welcome to episode 175 of the DFO Rundown. I'm Jason Greger alongside Frank Saravalli. Frank, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. Jason, this episode 175 is brought to you by Athletic Brewing. I'm embarking on a journey this January with Athletic Brewing, and I want you to join me. Dry January is going to be a breeze with Athletic's lineup of craft non-alcoholic beers. They've got a range of IPAs, Goldens, Cervezas, and a rotation of seasonals. I had this Upside Dawn Golden last night, and it was delicious. So stock up for Dry Jan and join me using my promo code FRANK20 for 20% off your first purchase at athleticbrewing.ca until January 31st, and give dry a try. Athletic Brewing Company, fit for all face-offs, fit for all times.
All right. Now, we got lots of hockey talk to get to, but first of all, it's December now. I have one thing I want to discuss. Frank, do you have Elf on the Shelf at your house?
Yes, unfortunately, I do.
Okay.
So our elf is named James. What is your elf's name?
James, Peter.
Okay.
I would just like to say for the parents out there, a few things.
Number that shit one, doesn't work.
No. Two things. Number one, it says clearly in the instructions, the Elf on the Shelf comes in December. Stop being a selfish tool and give your kid the elf in late November. I don't need more time to figure out the Elf on the Shelf. Okay. I don't need it. Somebody let their kid bring it to school on like November 27th.
You're not allowed 25th. To touch it.
Well, hey, thank you. Then they brought it to
we
school.
We have like, we have a whole, I guess, accessory kit for James, our Elf on the Shelf. And Megan, my wife, bought a special glove that like the kids have to put on in order to touch James, because he's not that the magic dissipates when you touch James.
Yeah, and supposedly they had their elf in a bag, but still. So of course my son comes home from school. Hey, Dad, why did my elf not come? Like, well, he doesn't come until December.
Yeah, buddy, so, you're killing it for us.
Yeah, think about it for everybody else, and also, can we stop with the lunacy of some of the setups? I don't need an elf coming in on some zip line across my house, zigzagging down the basement. Like, this is not a contest to show that you can be more creative. You're screwing it for everybody else. I just want to say that. Don't be the parent who goes 99 steps above of what you need.
Well, I'd say, unfortunately, we are contributors to the problem, but I'll tell you this. We've tried to use James as a tool to like get our kids in line a bit. Like, we really had a problem the other night with bedtime. It was 11:05 and my kids are still awake. They refuse to go to sleep. We've tried everything. Some Nitamins, as I call them, also known as melatonin. like nothing has worked. So we sent next to James the next morning, we had a note that was a notice saying you've been added to the naughty list. And there was a number of reasons listed. And, you know, bedtime is one of them. Not listening is another. Cursing for my son is another. I mean, it's not working. Whatever they said to do, this is not the manual. This is not working.
Well, see, it's funny. Well, my son's a rule follower. Anytime, I'm just like, geez, you think Peter would like that? And I'm just like, oh, geez. And he gets right back in line. So it actually works with him. But he's a rule follower, right? From at school.
My guys could not care less.
Any of his coaches have always said, Beckett, you give him a direction, he follows rules. He got that clearly from his mother, not his father. I can tell you that. So, but that's just whatever you do. Hey, if you want to make it so you have Star Wars in your house, okay, fine. But at least follow the simple guideline December 1st. Okay. I had to spend like a week explaining why Peter doesn't come. I'm like, he comes on December 1st.
But even if you do it earlier, don't be a prick and send it with your kid to school. That's the real lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one too. So anyhow. Okay. There's my rant non-hockey. Let's get into hockey. Cause man, this could be the all goalie edition. We'll start. There's lots of goalies, Jacob Markstrom, Demko, Campbell, Cal Peterson, all in the Pacific Division alone. Oh. We'll get in some other ones, but I guess we'll start first of all with Cal Peterson, put on waivers by the LA Kings. He's got a $5 million cap hit. He's got an .868 save percentage so far after struggling last season with the LA Kings. To me, if you're going to try to get his career back on track, this is the best way to go about it.
Maybe. It feels to me like, although he hasn't been good, Cal Peterson was made to be the scapegoat a bit. And it feels like that 9-8 loss to the Seattle Kraken really lit a fire in the LA Kings organization. I'm told the next day when Cal Peterson was put on waivers that Rob Blake held a team meeting and had some choice words for his team, was certainly not happy, the general manager addressing the group privately. And I think that rankled a few people. And I thought the reaction from it was a little bit odd. You saw a tweet from the Athletic beat writer Eric Stevens, basically the GM saying, you know, was this meant to galvanize the group? Blake says no. And then the response from Todd McClellan, their head coach, shortly after is, well, it should. You know, this is on all of us when you have a loss like that and you have a string of defense and goaltending like that. So I think there's been a lot of magnification on Cal Peterson. But to me, Jason, what Cal Peterson and this situation speaks to is the unforced error that the LA Kings made in signing Cal Peterson to that contract. Think about when it was signed. The exact date was September 22nd, 2021. So it was a few weeks before playing his first game of the season in the final year of his contract. So to that point, Cal Peterson had played a grand total of 54 National Hockey League games. And yes, his numbers were good, but they still had Jonathan Quick locked up for a few more years. The contract for Peterson wasn't due to kick in until this season. So you sign him to 3 years times $5 million. And my question is, let's say Cal Peterson, who doesn't have the pedigree of some of these other young stars that have made it in the game and have earned big contracts, how much more would Cal Peterson have cost you, if any, had he gone out and proven again what we thought he might do, which he didn't. He fell flat on his face last season and had an .895 save percentage and lost his job to Jonathan Quick. They were expecting Peterson to take over and play the bulk of the games, which is why they signed him to the deal. And he played 37 out of 82. Why? Yeah. That's my big question. Why? Yeah, why did you sign this contract?
That's a fair question. Right? It was a bit of a head scratcher at the time. And you know, I think they jumped the gun and were like, hey, this is our goalie of the future. But you're right. Like, he wasn't going anywhere. It wasn't like he was, you know, was going to walk. So it probably another case of premature signing, which happens to a lot of teams for lots of players. Right? You know, when a guy's entering the last year of his deal, especially when they're RFAs, I'm like,
Well, he was going to be a UFA. So I get that part of it and wanting to lock him up. But $5 million, like in today's day with a flat cap, $5 million is a lot, is somewhat a lot for a goalie, especially one that had only played 54 games to that point. How much more was he going to get?
He's that old. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Cal Peterson is 28.
Well, even then, like after 54 games, he can't sign until after the season anyway. So you have lots of time. I've never understood. It's like people get concerned when so-and-so doesn't have a contract and you're in November. You got 7 months to negotiate. He doesn't always have to sign guys before the end of the season. All right. Before the start of the season, you can, I know people say they don't want to negotiate contracts, but every player always tells me, well, I let my agent do that. So either they're lying or, you know, they worry about it. And some guys play better, with, you know, hey, guess what? I can really cash in here. And others don't like playing, without a contract. So I think it depends on the person. But if you're a guy who doesn't like playing without a contract, if I was a team, frankly, Frank, I would just look and say, okay, well, guess what? I'm not going to give you a massive raise before the year because I need to see it.
And I would want to see it again.
100%. So
there's a lot of people that subscribe to the theory that you don't know what an NHL goalie is until he's played 100 games.
Oh, God. Because
after you play 50-some, teams begin to develop a book on you. And it might be easy for the first 50 to get by when teams don't know how to beat you. And after that, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And only the true, really good goalies make it.
Yeah. And if, I honestly think this is the best move for Cal Peterson's career, right? If he wants to get back on track, do it in the American League. You got to get some confidence, number one, right? Like that's, I don't care what position you're playing. If you don't have confidence, it's blatantly clear. And I don't think he has any confidence right now. And he's not the only one though, Frank. Jacob Markstrom came out. I was going to say
that's actually the perfect segue to talk about Jack Campbell because he was in the LA organization and the first thing they did was send him to the AHL.
Yeah. Well, if I was the Edmonton Oilers, there's two reasons why you could do it with Jack Campbell. Number one, he needs to find his game. He's got an 872. It's not like him and Cal Peterson are really any different at this point, right? Sure, he was a free agent signing. So if you're worried about optics, schmoptics, everybody knows what's going on here. You don't like, what optics are you going to change by sending him down to the American League? Nothing. You're basically going to say, hey, he's got to find his game. The only way to find his game is play. And Olivier Rodrigue right now in the American League, Frank, is standing on his head. So at least you, because they were like, well, who are you going to bring up? You're going to bring up Olivier Rodrigue, who's played great down in Bakersfield. Exceptionally well. Now, I'm not saying that just because you play great in the American League means you're going to come up and play great in the NHL. But you could bring him up and you could let Campbell go down. Maybe it's only for 2 weeks, but he's got to find his game because having Stuart Skinner play more of the games, which has happened lately, and giving Campbell more practice time hasn't led to him playing any better. Like he had 3 goals in the first 14 shots in Minnesota last night. And you know what? None of them were awful goals, Frank, but none of them, like, especially the third goal. I'm like, he's making himself look like he's a U-17 goalie in size. He gave up the entire top of the net on the short side to a guy who's not a great goal scorer. Right. I'm like, why are you down so early here? You made yourself so small that you opened up, like, players in the NHL are pretty good. Last time I checked, Frank, if you give them 8 inches in the top of the net, guess what? They're going to score there every time.
If I were the Edmonton Oilers, I would sign or hire Dusty Emu as a goaltending consultant. And yes, I know the Oilers have a ton of goaltending staff, but Dusty Emu is the Jack Campbell whisperer. Hmm. That's the guy in AHL Ontario that changed Jack Campbell's career, got him back on track. The Toronto Maple Leafs attempted to hire Dusty Emu to help Jack Campbell and essentially be his personal consultant, but he was fired for some tweets that he had sent out and or liked about Donald Trump. So the Leafs fired him, and I don't, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's just being a personal coach, you know, in the offseason, stuff like that. That's the guy, if I were the Oilers, I'd bring in very quietly. work with Jack Campbell, whether it's in the AHL when he goes down, whether it's every off day during the season. Get that guy and get Jack Campbell right. Whatever you spend on Dusty Emu, whatever the blowback is socially, which I think we could argue there doesn't need to be any for someone that sent tweets. Get this guy right. It's a $25 million investment you've made. There's your option. There's a path.
Well, the American League, I think, is the right path right now, because Campbell has a history of being extremely difficult and hard on himself. And I think that it's just going to fester and get worse. The NHL, we've talked about it, Frank. It's not a development league. You don't bring in young guys and hope they develop here. It's very hard to do. And I don't think it's a league where you can find your game. Like, it's ruthless. It's heartless. You think the opposing teams are licking their chops when they see Jack Campbell in goal. And if Jack Campbell is not feeling confident about himself, that's a recipe for disaster. And that's what we're seeing. Like, he made one good save last night when the game was 5-2 and it was out of reach. There was no, your team's playing the second night of back-to-back. Your team's decimated by injuries. And you allow 3 goals in the first 14 shots. Like, it's not good enough. It's just simply not good enough.
No chance. And you're right. He seems mentally shot.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you send him to the AHL or you give him 2 weeks off with some invented injury or whatever you need to do in order to get him right. You do it.
Yeah, I honestly, to me, waiting longer isn't going to help. Like, now is the perfect time.
Everyone is expecting it now. Like, you're not going to hurt anyone's feelings or surprise anyone. Or it's, we've ripped the Band-Aid off to that point. Stuart Skinner's gotten a run, an extended run in net. Stick with him.
Yeah. Now, Markstrom comes out in Calgary after the game. And he didn't even let that many goals in last night, but he's like, hey, I'm not good at hockey right now. He obviously, I'm assuming he didn't really like the first goal, clearly, last night. What do you make of Markstrom's game? Because if he continues to struggle, Frank, that'll be 2 out of the 3 years, because the first year of his contract wasn't great, right? And then last year he was excellent. And now he's struggling. And he's struggling in a system that doesn't give up a ton.
They've given up a lot more this year, though.
Yeah, than last year, sure. But still not, like, you compare it to some other teams. It's not like the Flames are just a turnstile defensively.
Yeah, this is the Vezina Trophy runner-up that we're talking about here. And I say this completely tongue-in-cheek when I ask it. Is there any chance that the Edmonton Oilers broke Jacob Markstrom last year? Like, is there a chance that just your confidence hasn't recovered yet?
But it's funny. If you looked at even last year in the regular season, Frank, his numbers in non-Edmonton games were even better. It's just the Oilers and McDavid, they light him up. You're right. And it continued in the playoffs, but it had happened in the regular season. And even the year before, like, I can't remember the stat, but they did Markstrom's numbers against Edmonton and then compared the rest of his games against everybody else. And it was shocking, the difference. So he's only played Edmonton twice this year, and they split, and he actually didn't even play.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I wonder if there's something to the idea that the first Battle of Alberta that we had, it was the first week of the season, I think, and Dan Vladar started. And I was like, what kind of message does that send if you're Daryl Sutter saying, hey, wait a second here. This is our top goalie, and we're starting the other guy because his numbers are bad against Edmonton. Doesn't he need to get a fresh start and wipe the slate clean? Was that an early signal that maybe they're not looking at Jacob Markstrom the same way? Fair or unfair? I know if I were coaching that team, I'd say get in there and figure it out. I want you to solve your problems.
Because, yeah, and he did lose his other game against Edmonton, right, when Markstrom played. But he only allowed 3 goals. It wasn't like he was terrible, right? But 3 on 26 shots. So what's that, like a 84, 85 save percentage, somewhere around there. So that early game was, they had planned on giving him a rest, and, you know, we can debate whether it's right or wrong. It doesn't look good when it's the team that you just lost to in the playoffs. So that, I think, you know, that's fair. But then they did play him the second time, and, you know, similar results. If you're just looking at save percentage, I don't think Markstrom was terrible in that game, but he can't beat Edmonton. And it's funny, but, you know, since the Edmonton game, he's really been up and down. That's like over a month ago, right? So he had some really strong performances after the Edmonton game. So I don't know.
It's a really weird season because his save percentage has struggled, 889, but he has 8 of Calgary's 10 wins. And that's why I thought the other night when Florida came in, it was really important and an interesting point in the season for Sutter to go to Dan Vladar, the first game of a longer-ish homestand. You're coming off a long road trip, and Vladar had played 2 out of the last 3, and then you go to Vladar again to start the homestand to make it 3 of 4, and yet he had only 1 win this season. So part of that, there's a lot that goes into it, but Vladar, 913 save percentage. There's no question which goalie's giving your team a better chance to win, but hadn't much to show for it, and then finally got that win over Florida, and now is in a spot where it feels like, especially after Markstrom flogged himself publicly, he's feeling the heat. Like, he is. Like, you can tell that Vladar is taking charge a little bit, and that it seems like that part also might be wearing on him.
Like you look at Markstrom in his last, 11 starts, he's only faced 30 shots 4 times, right? And the most was 35. Like last night, he only faced 19 shots, 25, 25, 23, 23. So Calgary still doesn't give. Now, shots are one thing. Maybe they're giving up a high. I got to look it up to see if they're giving a massive amount of high quality chances or not. But I wonder if Markstrom, and I have to go back and look last year, is he a guy who struggles because he's not getting any shots? Some goalies, you know, when you go long stretches, Frank, and you're not feeling the puck. Like Marty Brodeur was one of the few goalies who excelled at it. He'd go long, never get any shots. Whereas other guys are like, lots of goalies will tell you, every goalie I've talked to says it's easier to play when you get lots of shots than when you don't. Right. Because Markstrom, he's only allowed 4 goals, like 4 out of 11 games, which if you go around the league, that's not a ridiculous amount. His save percentage looks terrible because he'll allow 3 goals on 26 shots.
Yeah. Right? His actual average for this season is 26 shots against per game.
Yeah.
441 divided by 17 starts.
Yeah. So he's not facing a ton of rubber, and he obviously, he's got high standards for himself. I think it's better when a goalie comes out. Like Markstrom's not the guy who's down on himself all the time. He just allowed 2 goals. He said it after a game where he allowed 2, not after a game where he allowed 7 and 6. Right.
Yeah. It's interesting. So I just looked at Vladar's numbers. He's seen an average of 34 shots a game. Maybe that's why the save percentage is better.
100%. Yes. Because sometimes,
why such a big delta between one goalie to the other? Is it just a statistical oddity? Is it like a weird home and road split? 34 shots against versus 26 is a pretty big difference.
Yeah. And which teams are they playing, right? Because some teams are high volume shot teams. They shoot from everywhere, and that can play it up.
So Vladar played against Florida the other night, and the Flames held them to 33 against a Florida team that averages north of 40.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just weird. It's very odd.
Yeah. I'd like to see what his save above expected is, right? And how many quality chances. Because, your extra shot totals right there is probably differentiates the save percentage from the two of them for sure, right? Because, if you're allowing 3 goals a game and the other guy allows 3, but you face 26 shots and he faces 33, and those extra 7 shots are those gimmies from the outside, you know what I mean? Every team does it sometimes. You come down the wing, top of the circle, wrister, and the goalie's just like, thank you, right? So who knows? But Markstrom's got to play better for sure. I think the fact he called himself out, I'd actually prefer that, to be honest. And then they're not the only team though. We're going to see Martin time in Vancouver, Frank, as Demko left last night in a lot of pain. And, you think though, that he's been playing hurt prior to last night?
I've got no confirmation on it. This is pure speculation on my part, but there have been whispers that Demko has been banged up for the bulk of the season.
Okay.
Like nothing overwhelming that would keep him out, but I think it's been like nagging hip and groin, issues and or strains. And I think where that team was at in the season, Thatcher Demko deserves a lot of credit for trying to battle through because he wanted to try and make a difference and put that team in a spot to try and turn things around. Obviously, to this point, something's up. Like, he's got a pretty significant string of history in the NHL. that this season is a real clear statistic outlier. And I believe that is a big reason why he hasn't been the same.
And really, you know, goaltending across the league, Frank, like there's so many guys that if you look, it's so volatile. Like even Shesterkin is not, like, he talked about his game and he's not happy with how he's played. He feels he's let in too many soft goals. His words, not mine. And you look at Jordan Binnington in St. Louis, he's sub 900. Fleury, sub 900.
What was up with that hit that he tried to lay last night? Did you see that? It's in my, if you didn't, it's in my Twitter feed. I retweeted the gif of it. Like, is there a bigger fake tough guy in the league than Jordan Binnington?
Well, that's what Devin Dubnyk said on the pod. He's like, hey, I'd like to see him. But you know what? Someone like just
tries to drill Jordan Staal coming behind the net and he absolutely gets trucked.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw the video. I was chuckling, but hey, you know what? At least on a play like that, I'm like, okay, he wants to try to hit someone. Well, he gets trucked then. Okay. There you go. I think
maybe that's why he has pretended to fight guys and has never done it. Like, I'd just like to see him for all the bravado. Yes. Do it one time. Just do it.
Hey, Ray Emery would fight, you know, for a goalie a lot of the time. So I'm sure
even against sometimes unwilling combatants, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I made a tongue in cheek joke one time, and that time he pummeled Braden Holtby. I gave him the third star of the game, and I've never been allowed to select the three stars again.
True story. That's hilarious.
That is a true story. The fans in Philly absolutely erupted. The Flyers were losing 7-1. Emery skated down the other end of the ice. Braden Holtby shook him off. And at some point, Ray Emery just grabbed him and they fought. And it was not pretty for Braden Holtby. And I just, it was a total tongue-in-cheek joke. And I voted him as third star, and that did not go over well. Because, you know, everyone takes the three stars so seriously.
Yeah, it's not...
It's a joke half the time when you see them.
So, Frank, just for any of our viewers, listeners, there's 38 goalies now that have played at least 10 games in the NHL. So, you know, that's basically just above one per team. Cal Peterson, 868. That's the lowest save percentage. Jack Campbell, 872. Bobrovsky, 878. Demko, 883. Kaapo Kähkönen, 884. That's the bottom five. And, you know,
Jonathan, which one are you most concerned about?
Well, I'd probably be most concerned about Bobrovsky because he makes 10 mil.
Oh, well.
Right? Like,
the Florida Panthers have long been since concerned about that.
Yeah. Thatcher Demko, if he was banged up, that one, you know, when a goalie's not 100%, I think it's pretty clear. But if you're the Edmonton Oilers, you're highly concerned about Jack Campbell. And I think that's the one because, you know, he doesn't have a no movement clause. He has a no trade clause, which means he can be waived. And so, and you have a conversation, you have a very honest conversation. Jack, we need you to get your game back. It's really hard to get your game back in the NHL. We're going to go to the American League. Now, I know some will counter and say, well, getting your game back in the American League isn't great either because it's less skilled shooters. The game is a little bit sloppier. I'm like, well, so what? Maybe, but there's less pressure. Maybe you just go down there and you play and you're out of the spotlight. And, you know, it's not like Bakersfield. There's, you know, it's different than if you were go down to Toronto and you go to the Marlies where everybody's going to cover your game still. It's in the same city, right? It's very different. You go to Bakersfield, you can be a little bit out of sight, out of mind. So, the one I'm most concerned about if I was a team would be Florida, but I think the one that needs the most urgency to be fixed is Edmonton.
Yeah, I would totally agree because let's face it, and Skinner's been really good, but Campbell was signed and there's a huge chunk of their cap chewed up for the next four seasons after this on Campbell. So this is not like they're in a spot where they can just, you know, wash this away after the season and reboot and start over. It's not going to happen. They made a bet and they're going to need to live with it. I would say there's less urgency on Cal Peterson because they have Jonathan Quick, who is still only 32nd in the league in save percentage at 889. But at least Quick can carry the ball for a while. I'm most concerned about Cal Peterson's game of the group because we've seen a long stretch Peterson, including last season, well south of 900 save percentage at 895 that would speak to this being a 50 some game problem that's going on for Cal Peterson.
Yeah. So I do have to talk about it, Frank, because I love offense. Jason Robertson, a hat trick last night. He's up to 22 goals now on the season for the Dallas Stars, leads the NHL in goals. He's second in points behind Connor McDavid. And, you know, there's nothing about Robertson's game that makes you think, oh, like, sure, he has a little bit high of a shooting percentage. Look at every player who, when you score that many goals, you always have a high shooting percentage. It's just how it goes. And I look at Jason Robertson, and the type of goals he's scoring, Frank, is so impressive. Like, he's emerging now as a legit goal scorer. And, you know, he's putting himself, not there yet, but in the ranks of Draisaitl, Ovechkin, and Pasternak, and Matthews, of course. And it is...
Man, he's on pace for 76.
Yeah, if I'm a Dallas Stars fan right now, I am pretty jacked up, because it looks like, you know, 60 goals and stuff, Frank. Like, Matthews just did it, but it's a massive number.
It seems doable. 60 though seems doable based on where he's at. He needs 38 to get there.
Yeah, it's plausible. There's no question about it.
And I'm not as concerned about his shooting percentage as you are, because he proved last year with 18.6 that something in that neighborhood is sustainable. He's at 21.2%.
Yeah.
Well, Draisaitl was 18.6 over an entire season. So because of the location of his goals scored, many of them very close to the net, it's like Shaq and slam dunks. Like, yeah, shooting percentage is pretty high.
Well, you look at the and he would be the first member ever in the Dallas Stars organization to get 60. And really, you look at it, they haven't had, like, Mike Modano had 50 once way back in 94. And then if you look at the organization, of course, the NAR Stars, Dino Cicerelli twice and Brian Bellows. That's it. They've only ever had three guys who scored 50 goals. And the most was Bellows and Cicerelli. They each scored 55. Jason Robertson's got a legit shot to set the franchise record of 56.
I say he hits 60.
60.
Ooh. I was saying 55 earlier this season, but I'm thinking 60.
Think it's 60. Well, I love to see it, man. I love goals. So,
and 16 of those are at even strength, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. He's not, but you know what? I never get too caught up in that. Like, if scoring goals in the power play was so easy, why don't more guys do it all the time? Like,
I'm not caught up in it. I'm just saying, like, it's, you don't need to rely on getting the man advantage to score the bulk of your goals is the only point I'm making.
Yeah. Okay. Let's bring in Tyler Yaremchuk. Ty, happy Friday. How you doing?
I'm good, and I'm clean shaven. So you guys have that going for you.
He's allowed near school zones. Yay.
All right. Let's get
into it. Very long. Eh? Well, did you shave that off at midnight on November 30th?
I did. I tried to do a funny bit on my Oilers Nation Everyday Show where I pre-taped like the first 20 seconds, and I was like, oh, it's November, I can shave again. And then I ran my intro, and then when I came back, I was clean shaven. And I don't think anyone noticed, because you couldn't really tell I had a mustache anyway. So the joke kind of fell flat on its face. Didn't work.
Yeah, a little dirt there. Yeah.
All right, let's get into Buy or Sell. As always, delivered by our friends at DoorDash, where you can use the promo code GAMEDAY25 to get yourself 25% off and no delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app. Number one, you guys just talked about Jason Robertson, him, Connor McDavid. They're 1-2 in the Hart Trophy race on PointsBet Canada. If you had to fill out a ballot right now, McDavid, Robertson, and who would be the third member? McDavid, Robertson, and blank, I guess I should say. Jason, who you got?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would go Nathan MacKinnon. MacKinnon's had a little slow start, but man, he has been on fire for the last 6 weeks. So I'll go MacKinnon.
Right now, I would go Mitch Marner.
Ooh. I'll have another question about Marner and Robertson.
Jack Hughes is also on my list as well, on my watch.
He's been great. McKinnon, though, to your point, Jason, McKinnon had an unbelievable night last night, not just scoring the goals, but he made this unbelievable play with like 3.5 minutes left to chase down Jack Quinn, who was on a clear-cut shorthanded breakaway, basically saved the lead for the Avalanche. It was unreal. But McKinnon...
Were you watching that game because you bet on it, or...?
Yeah, absolutely. I had the puck line, so I had to turn on the game for the final 5 minutes to see if they could get me the empty netter.
I was trying to figure out why Tyler would be watching Sabres Avs, and I was like, oh, that's it.
What is the puck line for people who don't know?
Just a team to win by at least two goals or more. So, you know,
so puck you're line basically gambling on empty netters, essentially.
Yeah, you need
all season long.
All right. 50 goal scorers. I've had this question banked for a while because I asked it to you guys at the beginning of the season. And now that it's been, you know, kind of 7 weeks of the year, we will finish the year with blank 50 goal scorers in the NHL. Frank?
Oh, God. Now I need to look at the list. I will say...
I'll go.
Go ahead.
I'll say four. McDavid, Robertson, Draisaitl, Matthews.
Ooh, I think you're leaving some guys short. Hold on a second here. Tage. We have a violation. The Tage Thompson fan club president has now been ejected.
No. Hey, I by the way, I got my shirt and should wear it. But, you know, hey, he's got 15 and 24, which puts him right on the cusp to score 50. I just think like 50 is really hard. And last year we had lots of guys get close. And then like, will Tage Thompson finish with 48 or 49? Probably. It's 50 is hard. So nothing against, hey, you guys all thought Tage wasn't worth his contract, buddy. So I still love Tage Thompson. Tage, don't believe the haters. 50 goals though is a different thing.
Who are your four again? Sorry.
McDavid, Draisaitl, Robertson, and Matthews.
So you go no on Horvat.
Now, Bo Horvat's not going to score 50. Come on.
Okay, so I'm going to add into the chat Andrei Svechnikov, shooter, and Kirill Kaprizov, who I think will be better than he has been to start and has still been pretty damn good. And I am going to give he's an outside chance, but the Cole Caulfield watch is on.
Whoa. So you're saying as many as seven?
Yeah, I'm yes. Did you have Pastrnak, right?
No, he didn't.
I did not have Pastrnak.
Oh, okay. I'm adding Pastrnak too. Okay,
yeah,
That's the one guy that I think you know, definitely could do it. He's flirted with it, he scored lots. There's no you know, he's consistently being a guy that's around it, and I think he's on pace for 52 right now. So and the other thing, Frank, is like for some guys, all that happens is you miss three or four games due to a little nicked up injury, and that can derail you.
I want to add one point that I can't believe we're saying this. Neither one of us has Austin Matthews.
No, I said Matthews.
You said Matthews. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he has six goals.
Are you not Matthews, Frank?
I'm really torn because like he's not that far away. Well, he is pretty far away pace wise. He's on pace for 40, I think.
He's got 12 goals now. He's got six in his last 10. But yeah, he's on pace for
39.
Yeah.
So
he'll heat up.
It's within the realm. You think he's going to heat up and get there?
Yes, I do.
I do.
I just think he's too good. Like we've seen what he does when he gets hot, and he's starting to get hot again. So
you should also include or at least consider, maybe you did, Stamkos, who has played a couple fewer games.
True.
Just based on schedule.
He would absolutely destroy the NHL record because it would be 11 years between 50 goals, and the current longest gap ever was 5.
He's on pace for 46. And he hit his 1,000th career point all with the Tampa Bay Lightning on Thursday night. But he's on pace for 46. Last year he hit 42. So a slightly better run. He's also playing a bit more minutes, a minute and a half more per game, and he looks pretty damn good.
Yeah. I was going to say Robertson, McDavid, Draisaitl, Pastrnak would be my only four that I had as 50-goal scorers. The Seattle Kraken can't be stopped. They had another just thrilling comeback win last night against the Washington Capitals. They are on pace for 117 points this year. The question is, the Seattle Kraken will finish the year with blank points. Frank?
And Tyler, we talked about this on Oilers Nation every day on Thursday. But Jay, this becomes a very simple math problem.
Yeah, their goaltending save percentage?
No, just points. They've already banked 33. That means to get to 95, they only need 62 in their last 59 games.
Oh, yeah.
62 in their last 59. Like, you're looking at a 510 points percentage. They're playing at 717 right now, which is not sustainable, I don't think.
Crazy.
But 510, 520 is eminently doable in the NHL. They've got a lot of bottom barrel Eastern Conference teams that they have not played their season series with yet. If you look at their schedule, there is a roadmap for the Seattle Kraken to be a playoff team. I'm not sold that they're a 100-point team, but I am very close to saying that they're going to be a playoff team based on math alone.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I look at in Seattle, and the reason I don't think they're going to keep pace with where they're at is Martin Jones and Philip Grubauer, who have started 22 of the 23 games for Seattle, have a combined 889 save percentage. You can't.
How much better that is than last year? That's the scariest part.
Yeah, wow.
They were 872 last year. Or 868 for a large stretch.
Yeah, so I think eventually they will slow down. But as you've said, Frank, they banked a ton of points. But I'm going to say Seattle, they'll be battling on the right in for the wild card spot. I firmly believe that. And I will say that they finish with 94 points, which might be enough to get in.
Ooh, it's going to be close, but I want to point something out too. I'm just looking for the stat so I get it right. Their shooting percentage is a league leading 13.1.
Yeah. Well, everybody's yelling PDO, PDO. So
The league average this year, just so you know, is 10 on the dot, and they're at 13.1. They are almost a full percentage point higher than the next closest team, the Dallas Stars, which scores a ton of their goals in tight, as we talked about with Jason Robertson. That save percentage or shooting percentage, this is why I'm not that worried about it, because as the shooting percentage is likely to decrease, it's probably likely that their save percentage will increase a tick as well, don't you think? And regress a little bit to the mean? Or do you think their goalies are just no good?
Well, when was the last time Martin Jones has a 900 save percentage?
He actually, I'd have to check it, but I believe with the Flyers.
Okay. So his last, here's Martin Jones's last 5 years, 896, 896, 896, 900. And now he's at 893.
Hold on. So that's over the last 190 games, five seasons, his save percentage is 897. That is a ton of sample size to suggest that Martin Jones is exactly an 897 goalie. Mm-hmm. And this year he's at 893. So he's bound to probably tick up a bit, as I'm saying. This proves my point. And the Kraken team save percentage or team shooting percentage is likely to decrease. All you're looking for is 520 hockey, baby. Gets you right into the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Well, they can make it. I just don't like the pace that they're on. They're not going to maintain that pace. It's just the numbers are going to sort themselves out.
Does this not kind of feel like what we did with Vegas, though, in their inaugural season, when like it was getting to November and we're like, all right, like, come on, they're not this good. And then it got to December and January and it's like, well, their goaltending will fall off. Like, just you see. And then they just never did.
But they had Fleury, no offense. Like,
but he was banged up, remember, right? And they're playing Manny Lagasse or whatever.
That's true. They did have a few backups.
They went through a run of like, it was incredible that year. Some of the guys that they put in net.
Oscar Donsk was.
Yeah, he played three games and was lights out.
was nuts.
I think was Malcolm Subban there as well?
Yeah.
They went through a whole run of guys that was incredible.
Yeah, and they all pretty much never missed a beat.
They
all pretty much had career years and short stints and then never came close again.
Dylan Ferguson played a game. It was wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that was a game in Edmonton as well. They had lit up whoever started, and Ferguson was on like emergency recall from the Kamloops Blazers, and they had to like throw him in net that year in all of his Blazers gear after the Oilers put up six on someone. All right.
Subban and Max Legace, I think is how you say his name. They combined for 33 starts that year, which is bananas.
They made the playoffs. Wild. All right, let's wrap this up with our Points by Canada bonus question. They got odds up every day for your NHL slates, and they got odds up on the guys who have their point streaks going. Every game, you can bet on Mitch Marner or Jason Robertson to get a point. You just get no value on it because they're so hot. Your question is, do either of them see their point streaks? Robertson's is at 17, Marner's is at 18. Do either of them see the point streaks hit 20? Jason?
Yeah, Marner, you know what? He just had the empty netter in late in the game, which is usually that happens for every player on a point streak. And then, you know, he gets some early. So I'm going to say Marner gets into the 20s, as does Robertson. I think both are going to get in the 20s.
Okay, well, if that is the case, then they're both going to play each other next weekend with those point streaks on the line. And I'm going to say my bold prediction is one of them loses their point streak. It ends in that specific game.
Ooh, the head-to-head.
Yes.
Well, that would be some motivation for your teammates, right? Hey, guys, let's shut our guy gets it. Let's shut the other guy down. All right.
Yeah, a little money on the board situation. If they can get to 20, it would be the first time since Patrick Kane in 2019 that someone had a point streak hit the 20-game mark. That is a wrap on this week's edition of Buy or Sell, delivered by DoorDash.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, before we go, Frank, I want to get to Alex Formanton, who did not sign a contract by December 1st. So he can't play in the NHL this year.
Really interesting situation that unfolded. And I think every team in the league was asking themselves the question, why have we reached mid or late November and the Sens have made not really even a passable attempt to sign Alex Formanton? And immediately, given the Sen situation, given that they have oodles of cap space, given that they have a need for depth, given that Formanton played the most minutes on the penalty kill last season of all the returning or somewhat players who had a chance to return for the Sens among forwards, why didn't they attempt to sign him? And I think the answer or speculation that ran in league circles was that perhaps there is some connection between Formanton playing on the 2018 World Junior team for Team Canada and his potential involvement in the sexual assault case that is now being investigated by both the NHL and the London, Ontario Police Service. So that's where the speculation was. The Sens really tried hard to move him in the last days leading up to the December 1st deadline. I don't think people really got a sense of how hard or how close it came to that happening. I think it went down into the last hours before the deadline of 5 o'clock. I think the Vegas Golden Knights were the team that was in there the deepest on potentially trying to trade for him. And other teams that I spoke to as the Sens were looking for a second round pick in return to said, look, really intrigued by the player, but after everything that's happened, the risk is just too great for our team. And there were other teams that just, Jason, said, we're not in this conversation at all. We don't want any parts of touching this, and we're going to move on. So it depends on how you view it. But I think what's interesting to me is that what do the Sens know, and why is it that there was alleged to be 8 Team Canada players in the room as the sexual assault happened? Why are those other 7 players that are still playing in the NHL playing right now penalty-free without prejudice as the season has gone on? Why is Alex Formanton treated differently right now than any of the other guys that might have been in the room?
It's a good question, Frank.
I don't know the answer. I'm just asking.
Yeah.
I don't know any of the details, and I would never speculate because this is stuff that needs to be proven in court. I think they've basically hung a neon sign up for Alex Formanton that says guilty, that I wonder if there's, depending on what happens and what comes out in the facts, is there a case here for Alex Formanton afterwards?
Well, maybe, but it is interesting. Formanton, if I'm not mistaken, is the only guy who didn't release a statement publicly saying that he wasn't involved, right?
Yeah, so, which also means there's other people that did release statements that lied based on sheer math.
Yeah. Now, was it the rumor of other people in the room, weren't some of them supposedly junior players that weren't on Team Canada?
See, I don't know how to cut through fact or fiction, but the point is, or at least what's been reported, is that there were 8. I don't know who or when or how. And then there was a statement from another player. I think a story that Rick Westhead had at TSN where he was invited to the room and was told that there was pizza there and went to the room and then, I guess, apparently stood there and watched for a bit and then left, which is still mind-blowing to me. Like, you see what's alleged to have occurring. Don't you just connect like, hey, there's no pizza here, I'm out? Like, if you stand and watch, to me, you're just as culpable as some others.
Yeah, eventually the story, you would assume, will come out. And you're right, you can't speculate. But, Formanton's silence and the fact that no one signed him. Yeah, you're right, Frank. It points the arrows to say he's guilty. Now, maybe he isn't. I have no idea, but it definitely seems that he's played a significant role in whatever occurred that night, and whatever allegations are there.
What if he isn't guilty? I'm not
that's sad. Fair.
If he did nothing wrong. Why are all these other guys that haven't been prejudged?
Yeah. Well, if he did nothing wrong, then you're right. He might have a case to say, hey, wait a sec. But, and then the one question would be asked is, why did he say nothing when everybody else said they weren't involved?
Yeah, I don't think we've ever seen a case like this that's played out. Alex Formanton is the first NHL player in salary cap era history to sit out an entire season as a restricted free agent. The last person to do so was Michael Pekka in 2000-2001. The Buffalo Sabres captain did not have a contract and did not play that season. Yeah. But that was an entirely different circumstance and set of facts.
Yeah, very different. Yeah, you'd like to see that story and, just have everything come out and find out what's happening with the case and everything else involved.
We're getting close. I can tell you that. The NHL's case, as TSN reported last week, is, quote, substantially complete, their investigation. And they are waiting on the London Police Service to finish their investigation, which, of course, they reopened in the summer as everything blew up with Hockey Canada. And there's the possibility that charges will be laid. There's the possibility that significant suspensions will be handed out. But the league is not willing to go forward and release their investigation until they compare notes with the London Police Service, because you don't want to come out afterwards and then it finds that you find out that the London Police Service either found something that you missed or you got something wrong. So those two sides are going to compare notes before ultimately handing out some punishment.
So let's say Formanton hypothetically, allegedly is involved. Would this year be considered a suspension?
I don't know. I mean, he was effectively suspended by the Sens, but the Sens would probably argue that Formanton had the ability to accept a qualifying offer and he didn't. They put a qualifying offer just like any other restricted free agent in front of him and he declined, which means that's usually just part of the process.
Yes.
Guys decline their qualifying offer all the time to negotiate for a higher salary. And in this case, he passed on it. And if he signed it, he'd probably be playing right now.
Well, definitely a story to watch for. Frank, have yourself a wonderful weekend. We will have an NHL general manager join us on the pod on Monday.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Saravalli and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Are you ready for playoff hockey? Well, listen up because I've got something for you. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of the questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. Simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total for the game is going to go over or under a certain amount, and the strategy doesn't stop there. Next up, you're picking which player is going to light the lamp first, and finally, you got to predict which period in the game is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That is all up to you. Now let's talk prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. That's right. Treat yourself to some Nation gear or even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the round winners, cash money. Cold, hard cash. We're putting real dough in your pockets simply for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. It's game time, folks. Head over to games.dailyfaceoff.com now and prove your puck prowess.